Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Millennium Effin'.
And just like that, stocks went down.
Jizz Lane Maxwell.
Barbecue-flavored multipass.
If you can dodge a ball, you can pop an eye.
The most Karen-ass bullshit.
Opie-ka-dobie. Now that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
The Lazarus of Peloton.
You earned an F-U.
Aria and the weird dragon thing.
By we, I mean you.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la hockey.
No drugs, just bongs.
Frosted coccyx.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm strictly a milk and fruit juice man myself. A chocolate soda, or a lemonade, or a big tumbler of cool milk, or even just a glass of ice water when you're thirsty.
Stop it, I'm drooling. Pat, how about some lemonade?
Wait, can you use Unreal in pornography?
This is The Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, December 13th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Hey, man. It's good to see you. We had a weekend where we recorded other things, but even when Monday rolls around, it still feels like it's a fresh start. We're ready to rock, you know?
We've had a couple poopy weeks. I primarily mean you. Between back issues and sickness, you sound great this morning.
Yeah, much feeling a lot better. It's weird, though. These antibiotics are kind of messing with me, just making me feel kind of just weird. Like I can't even really explain it. And she said this, you know, sometimes this happens. You get a big chemical change, man. You take these big fat horse pills and your body's like, oh, well, shit, come on in and do your job or whatever. But the rest of me is like, oh, okay, I can't really, you know, sleep is a little fitful. It's just like a little weird, little off. But it's fine. And I no longer have a 400-pound nose blockage that's just sitting up there. So that's good. I can breathe. Hear this?
Yeah.
That's me breathing.
Listen to you. I hear you breathing.
Yeah, that's me breathing. It feels good to breathe. It's good to be back. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. And we had a lot of snow. Do you have any snow, Brian? Any snow?
We had snow on Friday. Came down, and by Saturday, it all disappeared. It's gone. There's no sign of it at all.
Man, anywhere. It's so cold here, it stayed. It's still like, I don't know, 15 degrees or something today. It was freaking cold.
I went to the Bronco game yesterday, and I could have worn shorts, honestly, to the game. Like, I could have worn t-shirt and shorts. There were people there in t-shirt and shorts. It was mid-60s. So you'd never guess that Friday we had snow, and then yesterday was just absolutely gorgeous.
Tell me about the game. I didn't even see who won. But that must be fun, going to a big NFL game.
It's absolutely, yeah. Tina's folks have season tickets. They couldn't go, so as they usually do, they offer the tickets to us. Tina was up working in at the Georgetown Candy Company for their Christmas festival, helping them out.
Oh, fun.
Because she's super nice. Yeah. And so I brought my buddy Chris Brown, and we had a great time. Went and saw the game, sat up high in our section 500 seats.
Oh, my Lord.
So we have a beautiful view of the field. We can see everything up close by looking at the Jumbotron that is actually below eye level from where we're sitting.
Wow. Those are nosebleeders, man. Woo!
Nosebleeders. They are up there. But that's the Broncos has one of the longest sellout sell out records in the NFL at now Empower Field, formerly Mile High Stadium, and season tickets. You know, when somebody leaves, somebody sells their season tickets or gives them up, everybody else kind of moves up. And this is in 30 years, or at least the 30 years I've known Tina's parents, this is how much they've moved up. They've gone from like 20 rows or 30 rows back on the 500 level to 8 rows.
Wow. Wow. Well done. So, time heals all wounds, I guess.
But it is a great view of the field. I mean, you see everything that's going on. You don't have to turn your head and crank to see like what's going on in one part. You see all of it in one view, and we got good people around them and that sort of thing. So
that's nice.
It's really good. It was quite the sports ball weekend for me. We had our first Mammoth game in a year and a half.
That's right. Mammoth. Hold on. It's not hockey. Yeah, it is hockey. No,
it is not. It's National League Lacrosse.
Oh, I knew that. Lacrosse.
Yes. Yeah. Lacrosse.
I knew it was a la in there. La hockey.
And that's an indoor. It used to be the Pepsi Center. It's now Ball Arena.
What is with you guys and all your changes, man?
I know. Well, these companies gotta buy their stadiums and put their name on it.
Yeah.
Just really good to be in there. And they are at Ball Arena. They are not messing around. You have to have a vaccine card or a negative COVID test proof. You know, sheet of proof in the last 72 hours. Nobody getting in there with. Hopefully with COVID.
They'll let the non-vaxxers in as long as they've got a proof of test thing. Is that how that works?
Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly. All right.
You don't have to do both.
Is kind of, I would say that is the crowd that is probably a little more right-leaning than left, the National League Lacrosse.
You know, not that any of this should be drawn on political lines, everybody.
No,
we know
of course
that.
Not. No,
we know
of
that.
Course it isn't. But
it is. Yet it is. Yet here we are. Okay.
Yet so it is.
Somehow it
yes,
is. But,
exactly.
Right.
So you know, we weren't sure what we were going to see, you know, how many empty seats there were going to be, or with some of the people that we've seen there, you know, the whole time for years and years and years not be there because they're, you know, on the other side of things and kind of anti-mandates and vaccines and stuff like that.
Sure.
Fortunately, all the people around us were there, like the you know, the fans that we know sit in the seats around us, and they're all really cool. One couple just kind of refused to wear their masks. Like, you're supposed to wear your mask the whole time. If you're not eating or drinking currently, like, it's drink, pull your mask back up. You want another drink? Take your mask down.
Sure.
Take a drink. Put your mask back up. That's what they want in Ball Arena.
Yeah.
And there was just one couple who was just like, "No, we're not even wearing our masks."
Oh,
screw
I see
it.
How they are. Yeah. Well, look, you got to have. It takes all kinds, right?
It does. It takes all kinds. But anyway,
takes a village.
Broncos won. They won 31-10. Beat the Detroit Lions. No surprise. The Colorado Mammoth lost 13-4 against the San Diego Seals. So,
wow. Lacrosse, not a good day.
Got creamed. This was their second game, the first home game, but their season opener they won against Georgia in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they didn't win. They didn't win at home on when it counts. When the fans are there, no love at the Ball Arena.
So I have this history and reputation of enjoying football, knowing football, understanding football,
yeah,
having
sure.
fan or being fans of certain teams, that sort of thing. But I'm terrible at the same time. At kind of tracking where things are at until we get to playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Broncos positioned nicely at the moment? Are they winning games? No. Okay.
No, we lost our chance for the playoffs 2 weeks ago. So we've got two more games. We got one this coming weekend and then one at the beginning of January. And that'll be about it. Patriots sitting up there.
Yeah. At least they didn't just like, you know, throw in the towel. Sounds like they played to win. Well, I guess
they
the
did.
Lions
yeah.
aren't that great, but still.
Yeah, no, the Lions are kind of an easy. They're 1-11 right now. The the Lions.
wow, that's not a good. That's
so
a bad record.
Packers, Cowboys, Patriots, Cardinals, Buccaneers. Buccaneers did really well last night. They unfortunately lost me some money, but they.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had my bets going yesterday, and
yeah. Did you break even overall, or did you just how'd you do?
No, I came down. I lost more games than I won over the weekend. They're still tonight. Oh, and I tried a DraftKings promo where bet a dollar on the Packers, get 100 if they win. And so I won last night. And it's 100. And it's 100 I could withdraw. Like, I thought, oh, well, it's 100 that I have to, you know, of their money that I have to play.
Sure.
But I woke up and I'm like, well, let's see if I can, how much of that I can withdraw, or if I just have to play those $100. No, sure enough, I could withdraw the whole $100 with the dollar bet. So
I would have thought it would have been their, you know, magic coin.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, nope, you've got a, you can only play that, and you can take home your winnings of your, of playing those, but
like tokens in an arcade, you just got to spend them there, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's Mitsula's company. DraftKings.
Oh, do they, is he, I didn't know he's working for them. That's cool.
That's right. They're 111-1. I'm sorry, Detroit Lions, 111-1, one tie game. Who was their tie against? Was it
Browns? Oilers? No, they don't exist.
Oh, Steelers. Oh,
Texans. Oh no, wait. Did I have that wrong? No. Steelers.
Yeah.
Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers. I used to like Steelers.
I said that a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, you said Steelers. And then now they're all saying Steelers. So everyone says Steelers.
Now they're all saying Steelers, yes.
Hey, Falcons is fun because Van says effins when you have him say Falcons.
Oh, really? Is that's one of his
yeah. So if you
fun
say
words?
Yeah, if you say say Millennium Falcon, and he'll really let it rip. My favorite new thing is he learned how to say Obi-Wan Kenobi, but it's really bad. Let me share this with you.
Okay.
Shortly here. I wasn't planning on this. I'm not sure this will work, but I'll try. All right. So, oh gosh, loop back. I don't want to do a thing. Okay. So here we go. We got, oh, good. This will work. All right. So we go into the group. We have a family group called Goobers here. And, my son saw, what's the name of the band? Can't think of his name.
The name of the man. What is the name of the man?
Not Nickelback. My friend. Oh, Everclear. Remember Everclear?
Oh, yeah. I remember Everclear.
The 50-something-year-old lead singer did a private acoustic concert for...
Alex Sexus.
Yeah. See, look at you. Like you know these. You know stuff.
Yeah.
That's me who doesn't.
Well, I know enough to get his name close but wrong. Alex Coccyx.
Coccyx.
One, the Frosted Tips, dude.
That's the one. All right.
Father of mine, where did you go?
Oh, here it is. Is this the one or is this the Upon one? Hold on.
Just say what the.
What the fuck?
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Oh, here it is. Okay. Here it is. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is amazing.
Who's that? Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Obi?
Obi-Ka-Obi? And he pushes it out like it's the end-all, be-all word he has to say.
Yes, right, like he's nailed it. Obi-Ka-Obi?
That's great. He's so funny right now.
How about Frog Pants? Have you gotten him to say Frog Pants yet?
No, but he'd probably cuss. It'd probably be a swear.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably. Yeah, I'm guessing.
Because Millennium Falcon is Millennium effing. It's amazing. We got a quick email I want to read, and then we're going to...
Kessel Run.
Yeah, there you go.
12 effing parsecs.
Go re-edit that movie to have nothing but F.
Yeah.
Evilaz or Evil Arizona? Eviaz.
I don't think there's an L. Eviaz.
Oh, why do I see an L there? It's not. He even put a pronouncer at the bottom.
Right, he even puts a pronunciation guide. Eviaz.
Dope. He says this. This is the email about seizures of stuff, like custom stuff. We talked about the Canadian border stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the bongs, right.
I said Canadian. Hold on. Got to play this.
Canada!
All right, here we go. Hey there, Search and Border.
Nice.
Long-time listener and lurker in the chat. On Wednesday, you did a quick news segment on U.S. Customs and Border Protection seizing some drug paraphernalia in D.C. I'm a U.S. Customs CBP officer and was wondering why they seized them if they were just the pipes, like Brian had mentioned. Mm-hmm. These were bongs, so just the bongs. Yeah. No actual drugs.
Right, no drugs in the bongs, just
right.
The bongs.
Yeah, bong only. Starting to sound weird. As long as they are unused, they are not considered paraphernalia, as they can be used for tobacco or hell, even in the case of somebody in a case where somebody felt compelled. It only is drug paraphernalia if there's residue that does not have a weighable amount. We can't seize drugs without a weight, and we can't seize something as paraphernalia without some traces or residue of the drugs. More than likely, the people that were responsible pissed us off by lying on a manifest and or the cash they failed to declare. So we gave them the harshest thing we could. Who knows? Anyway, take care.
Makes sense.
We find somebody who works in the spaces we talk about.
We talk about. Yeah. So he's a customs border officer. That's awesome.
That is cool. I want more stories. You know he's got them.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. What is the largest thing that's ever tried to be smuggled in a place where nothing should ever be smuggled?
Yeah, nature's pocket. What did somebody put in there?
Your prison purse.
Yeah, your prison purse. Who? What large, obnoxious thing did someone try to sneak into the border that you could tell us about? Let us know.
Football-sized. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's in the chat room. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Football-sized. Ooh. So it's an actual football? Oh, football. All right. I love it, though. I really do. When you guys, like, we have doctors who listen in real time. So if we say something stupid medically, they always correct us. Jerry Tolbert's a good example of that.
Science Bobby will always correct us if he's in the chat room and we're running off of the mouth about something that's not true.
Yeah. By the way, he's Mr. Big Shot now. Tomorrow.
He is.
We're going to have to treat him like he's some kind of lord of running because he did his marathon.
He had a big run. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy cow. The big marathon. The goal happened. Mm-hmm. He made it.
He survived it.
He did the whole thing. He said on Facebook he would probably, he doesn't know if he'll do another full marathon again, but he'll definitely do half marathons. And the whole idea with the goal was to hit the goal, and he hit the goal, and he thinks he likes running now. So.
It's good.
Well done, Bobby. The science of running. Nicely done. All right. I think it's time. Time for what you say? Well, how about we bring a friend in?
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea. A guy that we just talked to yesterday.
Yeah. He's an old pal.
By the way, we did Better Watch Out for Film Sack, which just went up. And I had completely forgotten that Hammond interviewed the director.
Oh, really?
For his Beyond the Playlist. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
I don't know if Hammond asked him about the doorknobs, but boy, those doorknobs.
Those doorknobs are unforgettable. I need to hear that. I'll go back and listen to that because I really ended up liking that movie a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprised me. It's not for everybody. Okay, I'm not saying don't watch it with your kids. Yeah. Okay,
don't watch it with your kids. Even though the movie poster might look a little innocuous, and it features kids. Don't watch it with your kids.
No, it is not a kids movie. But I'll tell you what is kid friendly. This. Brian Dunaway is 100% kid-friendly, and we love having him on the show. Brian Dunaway, welcome back to the show. How the heck are you?
No pressure. Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Truth or dare?
Oh, truth. Truth.
Well, okay, is it time to play a game?
Oh, okay, yeah. The answer is yes. That's the truth. There you go.
Truth, yes.
Yeah, we gave you the truth.
You picked it right.
It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. South Carolina's own, and he's here like good barbecue to regale us all with entertainment and high taste.
I like being compared to good barbecue.
Are you part of the war, right? The United States, southern states all think they have the best barbecue and they all fight with each other.
Absolutely. You guys should come down like the Food Network did one time. I work like one block over from where they have this huge barbecue festival fair thing that brings in people from all over the country. And I just walk out there and I go, what's that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You can get a all barbecue pass. I don't recommend it because you shouldn't.
But because that's what's going to happen after you eat all that.
Right.
At home, you're going to sit down on the toilet and have an all barbecue pass.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you pay like $20 and you can go up to any of the vendors and go, you got your little badge on. You got your little gimme. Yeah.
Give me. So you guys believe in the mustard being the base of the sauce.
Oh,
there's a lot of different people. Now, I personally like the mustard.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
Personally.
Yeah, I do, too. I like it a lot. Yeah. In fact, I think it is my, you know, various, there's different kinds and they're, you know, different levels of the mustardy part. But yeah, I never turn that down. That's available to me. But those guys in, Oklahoma, they think they got it down with their, what's their thing? They got
Kansas City has their thing.
Texas, of course. Yeah, and they don't even recognize the rest of it.
Like tomato based, or
I just want it all. Everything you're saying sounds great.
Yeah, barbecue is just good. I mean, it's just meat and some kind of some kind of accent. I'll take it.
Okay. Exactly. I'll have the all barbecue passed away. Thank you very much.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Hey.
Every time I think about that all barbecue pass, I'm like, oh, God, no.
Yeah. It seems like a lot.
Too much pressure.
Sounds good, though. Hey, let's get into game time here. We're going to try to win some stuff for some people. And Brian Ibbett here has got the keys to this car. So why don't you
start? I've got the keys. So let's put it in drive and stab it and steer. Yeah. Welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back and forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Guy Fieri would find gross. With his barbecue sauce. Scott and Brian will take turns answering multiple choice trivia questions, and if they get them wrong, well, the other player gets the point. The player with the most points after five questions wins the prize for their contestant. Speaking of those contestants, we've pulled them from members of the Tadpool who aren't able to be here and listen live to the show.
Or are too lazy. I say too lazy. Oh,
yeah. Is that what you said?
That could be it. Yeah. Scott, you're going to be playing for Kathy C. in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Cool.
And Brian, you're going to be playing for Jamie W. in Kirksville, Missouri.
Ooh. Yes, Missouri. Let me know, Jamie, what you think is the best barbecue.
Yeah, except he's not here, but okay. Excellent.
All right. So, and the prizes, by the way, first place is going to get Yakuza 3 Remastered and The Surge 2.
Ooh, those are both good.
And second place is getting Dirt 5.
What?
So,
well, that's, look at that. You can't, there's all winners today.
Yeah, everybody wins.
So Yakuza 3, The Surge 2, and Dirt 5 are all relatively new. Dirt 5's case, is it's a game from this year. That's brand new.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
And if you add Yakuza 3 and The Surge 2, you get Dirt 5.
Yeah.
If you add those three, those two together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirt Space 5. Got
so
it.
everything is equal. All right, let's get to your questions here. Scott, I think you... No, I think Brian won last time, so Scott, you're going to go first.
All right. I'm ready to go first.
I really want to know if you like keep that, try to just keep
really
it in your head.
I try to keep it in my head, and I really don't spend much time on it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to put it in chat. I'm going to put it in our Discord. But Kim Goodman is known for having the world record for eye popping. She can make her eyes pop an astonishing 0.47 inches, so almost half an inch out of her head. How did she discover this odd talent that she has?
That is great. We just kind of talked about this last week with all the, you know, the Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of stuff.
Oh, we did.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
A little bit,
and this is the one I always think about.
This woman, it's just, it's mind-boggling she can do it.
She was on Letterman a couple of times.
It's eye-popping is what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where I saw her.
It is eye-popping. All right. How did she discover that she had this talent? Brian, no, wait, Scott, you're going
first. Is it my turn? I don't know who's first.
It's Scott.
Scott's going first. A, did she enter a college talent show? B, did she get hit in the head with a hockey mask? C, did she take a dodgeball to the face when she was a young girl? Or D, did she fall off a stool in her kitchen?
All of those are so uncommon, except for the stool and kitchen.
Yeah.
Because that just happens to people.
That happens.
Don't sit on the stool in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She
stood on the step that says "Do not to be used as a step."
Let me hide. I forgot to hide chat. Hold on.
So wasn't because she saw a sexy lady like the wolf. That's not why her eyes.
Old Tex Avery style. All right, I'm gonna go with D because those other things teams seem too crazy. So
sure, falling off a stool in her kitchen is incorrect.
Point.
Damn it.
And the option. Entering a college talent show, getting hit in the head with a hockey mask, or taking a dodgeball to the face. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Dodgeball to the face as a young girl.
Wow, I don't know this. I've seen her face before, but she's never communicated with me how it happened. But it seems like a dodgeball to the face would be like you pop up and you're like, you open your eyes really big to try to kind of, you know, shake it off, and all of a sudden your eyes pop out, and then of course the teacher's like, "Oh my God!" And
put,
you know, they're calling EMS, right? So I wouldn't say that's the story.
You say dodgeball. It is not. It is actually she got hit in the head with a hockey mask.
That would have been the last one. Yeah. I would have never guessed that one.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. The reason I didn't think talent shows because she would need to know beforehand that she had the talent.
Yes, exactly. You wouldn't say, well, I sure hope I discover what my talent is when I'm up on stage.
Unless she had
sweating
some other
and
talent.
Eyes popping out.
Yeah, maybe her other talent was like flare in her nostrils or, you know, I don't know what else. And then suddenly her eyes pop. Yeah. But still, that seemed really unlikely.
I would so I look at those photos and I just would so be afraid of my eyes not going back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's actually pretty is not real common, but it's pretty common. She's not like the only person with the.
I've seen a few like that, but I'd like to see you try it, Dunaway. Let's see you try it. Can you do it?
Oh, I can make my eyes really big, but then I get scared. So then I'm like, what if they do pop out like that? It freaked me the crap out. I'd be like, am I in Beetlejuice? I'm out of here.
Yeah. They're the only eyes you've got, and there is no Peter Stormare in a rainy town in that movie you hate that can put new eyes in.
The water. Yeah. Speaking of which, hey, let's hope there's never a catastrophic water drought. A human body can only last this long without it. A, is it 2 months? B, 3 weeks? C, 49 hours? Or D, no longer than a week?
This is making me thirsty, so hold on a second.
I guess 7 days. 2 months, 3 weeks, 49 hours, 7 days.
This question's making me thirsty.
Everybody hydrate. This is a good Steven Schleicher question.
Right. That's right. Everybody hydrate. Use your channel points to make us hydrate. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so 49 hours... That seems, you know, because you hear people out in the ocean, you know, just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be longer than that. So I would say a week, and you'd probably start, a good chance you're not going to make it.
Mm. Okay. All right. You're saying a week. Seven days is the correct answer. Yes, it is. Scotty.
I figured that was you saying is the correct answer.
Oh, no. I was asking the question that you answered. I was saying, is the correct answer a week? Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I went almost, I think, 48 once without water.
Really? Yeah. Why would you do that?
I was really sick on a river trip when I was a kid.
Pukey.
But and I was really young. I don't know what happened. A whole bunch of us got sick, and we went down this river trip, and I couldn't keep anything down, water or otherwise. I probably retained a little water because I don't know, you know, you drink water, if you York it up, it's you still keep some, I guess. I don't know. But yeah,
I don't know how water works. I don't know.
But that would suck. You can go a lot longer without food, though.
A good bit longer. Yeah. Months, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Months.
Yeah.
Week.
You'd think we as humans would be a little better about making sure our watersheds are all good for the next generation.
Right. Yeah. And you would think as individuals we would know because we can't even make it. I can't even make it 3 hours before I'm like, I'm starving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but do ants say, well, how long do you think you can live under a shoe? I don't know. Let's just go for it. I don't know.
Exactly. All right, my turn to turn this around.
Scott's turn. Turn it around, man.
Yeah.
Good luck not feeling a millipede as it moves across your ankle. Ooh. The largest number of legs ever found on a millipede is... is it 750, 1,000, 1,200, or 1,300? Legs on a millipede.
So granular with the 1,000s. Well, I was leaning toward the 7-somethings, but now I'm feeling like I need to be higher. So I'm going to say 1,200.
1,200 is the correct answer. 1,200, question mark? It is not.
Damn it.
Brian gets the point. Your other choice is 750, 1,000, or 1,300.
I'm with Scott. All those thousands are distracting me.
Yeah,
like it's got to be in the thousands, right? And there's no way that it was exactly 1,000. You know how excited the person would be if they were counting those legs?
Oh,
1,000,
yeah.
Exactly?
Yeah. That one entomologist.
What are the odds?
Yeah, that guy's losing his mind. He had the best day of his career that day.
Right. So the 13. But I want to know first, is there any clue on this in this question whether it was kind of like, you know, like guessing the number of jelly beans in a jar, or was it they actually took a little pencil and two. Oh, he moved! One.
Even
two.
All these numbers feel like, wow, it's weird that it's so rounded, right?
Exactly.
The tens. I mean,
it makes sense. It makes sense that it's even, but even numbers.
Right, yes.
But yeah, okay, 1,300. I'm going 1,300.
1,300 is incorrect. The actual answer is all those thousands did distract me. 750. Scott, your initial instinct would have been.
Got us.
Damn it.
Got us, Scott.
Damn
they
it.
Got us.
750 legs.
Well, I still lost the point, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brian, next time you go swimming, make sure to not get any water in your mouth. What percentage of adults admit to peeing in a public swimming pool?
Oh, thank God it's not fecal matter. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Because this is so much better.
Yeah.
is it 40%, 28%, 15%, or 11% admit to peeing in a public swimming pool?
I feel like that's going to be high. Oh. I don't think I think that's pretty.
I was hoping you'd say, I feel like I pee every time I go to the pool. That's what I was hoping.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like people are pretty ready to answer that with a, you know, yeah, I do that. So what was it? Was it 40% you said?
40% is the highest number on the list.
I'm going with 40% of those people are willing to admit they've peed in the pool.
40% is exactly right. Good job, bro.
What?
Jeez.
I'm shocked by that, because what that tells me is that way more do and don't admit it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. 100% of people actually pee.
Oh, I've never peed in a pool. Does that make me weird? That makes me
that
good.
That does make you weird.
That is weird.
I've never peed in a pool. Well, as an adult, back to the question, adults who admit, I have never peed in a pool as an adult. When I was a kid, I remember peeing big time in the pool.
That's
well,
the reason
yeah,
why
that's
you.
That's true, yeah.
That's the reason why you pick all adult. The. Yeah. That's the reason why you lie to the kids and tell them there's a special dye in the pool that'll turn it blue if they pee.
Yeah, that was a big one growing up. Also, somebody told me that if you. Oh, what was it? My brother. Somebody said if you peed in the pool, some alarm was going to go off and it would know it was you. Like, weren't, weren't, weren't. And everybody there would hear it and know it was you who peed. Yeah.
We got a peer over here.
I pee in the pool all the time. Sometimes I don't even get in the pool. I just stand on the side and pee in it.
Yes, yes.
Yep. Everybody make sure
to
go to
the pool to pee.
Go to the MGM float around pool.
That's
where
right, exactly. And I just wait for some bros to swim by and like, oh, peeing in the pool.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. All right. Scott, final question here. Let's see if you can get one of these.
That'd be great.
In which activity do you have the greatest chance of dying? So which of these four activities is your chance of dying the highest? A, is it a triathlon? B, is it what Bobby Frankenberger just did, running a marathon? C, is it driving 100 miles in a car? Or D, flying 1,000 miles in a commercial airplane in the U.S.?
Wow.
Oh, that's got to be.
This is going to freak me out no matter what you say.
It's got to be, by the numbers and averages, it's got to be that 100-mile drive. Like, car accidents way outweigh anything that you do in the air. And 1,000 miles is nothing in an airplane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm trying to think. And the other two are running and athletic problems. And it feels like those people have to be ready for that. So you're going to have an occasional death there. You know what? It's got to be the car. Got to be.
Okay. All right. Going with driving 100 miles in a car is incorrect.
Damn it.
Clean sweep for Brian today.
And I think the trick there is it's a percentage question. So I don't think it's like they're not compared to one each other. They're compared
they're
to within inside the yeah within inside them, the yeah. the event. And so I'm going to say a lot of.
in which activity does your internet have the greatest chance of dying?
Hello, Dunaway. You there still? Are you there?
Are you guys there?
Yeah,
we're here. We're here now. All right. So you're about to say.
You did one of those where you went, wah, and your voice went like way off into nowhere.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was stalling for time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think marathon, because I think a lot of people get into the idea of running a marathon and they're not totally prepared. Whereas the other ones, I think you're right. They have to be highly trained. But just a regular old marathon? Sure. Yeah.
All right. Is it running a marathon? It is not. It's actually the triathlon.
Triathlon.
Or triathlon. Really? There's no extra A.
That's why they say try.
Yeah. Well, do they say which of the three events they get died in the most?
Oh, I'm looking it up.
I'm curious. Because there's the bike. There's
I would
swimming.
Think the drowning probably. I wouldn't think.
The swimming portion.
Right.
It is. Wow.
Yeah. Most deaths in triathlons come during the swimming portion. They found a total of 135 sudden deaths, resuscitated cardiac arrests, and trauma related deaths.
Damn.
Triathlon.
Damn.
Yeah.
So it should be TRY athlon instead of.
That's right. Plus, like, a plane could come out of the sky and kill you in a triathlon, and a car could drive into the triathlon. So it adds the other two. You can't, triathlons aren't going to kill people up in the air.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, remind me to never do a triathlon. Hey, all right. Well done. That means I lost. Well done, Scott. You're a dummy.
You lost. Sorry.
That's okay, but we got a winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh, actually, they're both winners, if you ask me. because yeah, second place
both,
got
with
it.
All three of these games. Good Lord. So congratulations going to Jamie W in Kirksville, Missouri. You're getting a copy of Yakuza 3 and The Surge 2. But Kathy C in Las Vegas, you're not going away empty handed. You're going to get something that's very prevalent in Las Vegas. Dirt 5.
Yeah. Dirt 5. One of my favorite rally games of recent years. I really enjoy it. You'll love it. It's great. It's a great racing game. I have that on Series X and I love it. Well done, you guys. You didn't have to do shit. You just had to send your names in. And
that's right.
And now exactly. You've won. Brunaway. Hey, Brunaway.
Brunaway.
What are you doing today? Anything fun? Or is it just work or what? What are you doing?
Well, when I get home, I'm going to do what I've been doing all through December. I'm going to stream some video games. Mm-hmm. No boob show tonight. We're still on hiatus, but I'll be there at 6 p.m. Eastern time on my Twitch channel to stream a bit. Probably something retro. Something old school.
Cool. Oh, retro. Interesting.
Yes.
Retro.
Interesting.
Retro.
Wonder why the show's on hiatus.
Retro.
Retro. Yeah, like...
retro, like,
retro. What? Hey, Scoop, what's your favorite video game genre? Retro.
Retro.
Oh, that's good. All right. Hey, we'll have a good one. And suck our butts. We'll see you later.
No, you.
Bye. Oh, that lady in her eyes.
Ugh. I know. Yeah. Here, it's so disturbing.
Here, chat, in case you missed it. Look at that thing. It's so weird, and she has such pretty normal eyes when they're not all poking out.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, it seriously looks like she's got a ping pong ball cut in half with irises painted on it that she's putting over her eyes and squinting them down to hold them in place.
I assume she kind of made a little bit of a career out of that, right?
Like, she did. I remember her being on... like you said, David Letterman, she was on all the talk shows, and it was the David Letterman one, I think I just remember, he would say something shocking to her, and she would pop her eyes out as part of the bit.
Right, or was her original thing may have been a stupid human trick, and then...
Oh, it might have been, yeah.
But then later, right. She'd come back for other stuff, and I remember thinking, well, that's unusual for a stupid human trick to get, like, return visits to the same show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, and someone says it's an actual, what's it called, optic encephalitis? Says AB Tech John. It's an actual condition. I mean, is it bad for her? And if it is, great, because then you used a weakness and made it your strength. So nice job.
Yeah, I'll bet it's not, because if she... some doctor would have reached out to her and say, you really need to stop doing that or else you're going to go blind.
Right. Right. Or they're going to come out and never go back in or something.
And never go back in or something. Yeah.
Nobody, and, ain't nobody want that.
Ugh.
I don't want that.
No, nobody wants any of that. I don't want any part of that.
No. All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you for that. It's now time for us to partake in the news. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
by Neil Patel. Headphones Neil does or dot reviews. Let's try that again. Headphones Neil dot reviews. My podcast, Headphones Neil Reviews, where usually in 20 minutes or less, I added the U in there because he added it in there. I review films, TV shows, and games that I play on Android. Gameplay videos and Android app reviews are on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. Check out headphonesneil.reviews.
I didn't know there was a .reviews domain until he sent that.
I didn't either. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Very cool, Neil.
Cray.
May check it out. All right, here's a story that's a little bit of a holdover from last week. I wanted to make sure we hit it because I just think it's very odd. So we all know about this, I don't know how to say her name right, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell? Is I don't it think Ghislaine? You pronounce
it, yes. It's not Ghislaine?
I don't think, no, but Ghislaine is great.
It's
I think
pretty
we should
good.
Start calling her Ghislaine.
Yeah, I think Ghislaine might be the appropriate deal. Anyway, that lady who helped Jeffrey Epstein groom and traffic and be horrible, and she's on trial right now. she did this weird thing. Every courtroom that doesn't allow cameras, they always have a courtroom artist in there. This is normal. Been that way for probably 100 years. I don't know how long we've been doing courtroom artists.
I don't know.
And she did something real weird. She stared directly at her court sketch artist and drew them right back at him. So stood had a pencil or pen and a pad there and just stared at the artist and sketched them while that person sketched her. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's not just like...
Like, you're going to draw me? Well, I'm going to draw you.
Like, I don't even know how to describe how it makes me feel. It makes me...
Then she brought out a typewriter and started typing back at the court reporter. Oh, you're going to type everything I say? Well, I'm going to type everything you say.
It makes me think this Ghislaine lady is 100% guilty. And I already thought that anyway, but it doesn't help her case to be drawn people.
No, not at all.
Anyway, a courtroom illustration of Ghislaine... I can't say it right. Whatever it is, Ghislaine Maxwell staring directly at her court sketch artist and drawing her back has gone viral. The courtroom sketch was drawn on November 1st during a pretrial hearing in New York City ahead of the jury selection by artist Jane Rosenberg, who is currently covering the sex abuse trial of Maxwell. Maxwell, the Jeffrey Epstein associate accused of sex trafficking, making a sketch of court artists while seated between defense attorney Bobby Sternheim and Jeffrey Pagliuca. Does that sound right?
I'm busy. I'm looking at her drawing, which starts to get really meta. So the court artist draws her.
Yeah.
She draws the court artist back, and then the court artist draws her drawing the court artist. So does then she update her drawing to have the drawing of him in her drawing,
right, and in that drawing, like,
how deep can this rabbit hole go?
Did the courtroom artist get at all, like, do you have to be accurate as to what you can see their drawing, or did you flub it a little to make it look bad?
Right. Like, yes. Yeah.
It's such an odd thing.
I did click that. Yeah, that's the same. That's the same one that Captain Kipper just drew.
It gives me the creeps. I don't like it.
Yeah, it is really creepy. And shouldn't she be paying attention? It is her trial.
I would think so.
Maybe she shouldn't be doodling.
Yeah, my guess is she's not feeling all that much remorse for her hideous behavior in life.
No.
My guess is she was totally cool entrapping these women and doing shitty things. I think she's probably down with it. Anyway, let's see. There's a bunch of Twitter quotes. Who cares about that? Courtroom sketch artist with more than 4 decades, by the way, in the industry, told the Western Journal that this isn't the first time that she's been drawn in the courtroom. She says, oddly, it happened the last time I sketched Lev Parnas, the co-defendant, was sketching me, she said in an email to the Western Journal, referring to the Ukrainian-American businessman who was convicted on charges related to violating campaign finance laws. This is the one that used to hang out with Giuliani all the time.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I guess he did that, but... You know, power, people in power, you're all effed up.
Yeah. When they get zero Fs, they'll just draw the court artist.
Yeah. Because what are they, you know, what are they going to do? It's the most Karen-ass bullshit I've ever heard of. You know what I mean? It's like walking into a store.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's bad human behavior. You're a child. Knock it off. Go to jail. That's where she'll go. Mm-hmm. She'll go to jail. She better go to jail, dude.
Yeah.
There's way too much evidence not to send her.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Photographs and all the reports and stuff. Let's hope. Bad. I mean, geez.
It's bad. All right. This is hilarious to me and also scary, and I hate this about our modern society. Next thing. Right. Peloton. They're the running treadmill screen on guy going, all right, you can do it deal.
Treadmill and bicycle. Start out with bicycles and.
Sure. And built out from there. They've kind of become the du jour of that workout.
Right.
Well, their stock dropped by, let's see, how much? A 19-month low. just after the end, just like that, which is the new Sex in the City thing. I don't know why they call it and just like that.
Because every episode, Carrie used to say, and just like that, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I never really watched the show. So I guess I'm...
And just like that, a horse walked down Main Street, Madison Avenue.
So it's the Sex in
wearing
the City.
Wearing Louboutins. Yeah.
It's the Sex in the City people. They had a character, I guess, died? Well, here, I'll read it.
Yes. Yeah.
Shares in Peloton, the fitness equipment company, fell 11.3% Thursday, tumbling to a 19-month low after a key character on HBO Max's Sex in the City revival, and just like that, it's called... was shown dying of a heart attack after a 45-minute power workout on the company's exercise bikes.
Now we know it isn't Kim Cattrall because she wasn't even invited to be part of
this
reunion show. Unless like they had a they showed her from the back, like having a workout, and then like, ah!
Yeah,
and that's how they wrote her out of the story.
Now I know people are probably, a bunch of you are into this thing, and so I'm not going to name names about who.
But
it was.
I know who it is just from seeing. I didn't see this show, but I saw a clip of the Peloton ad, and so I know who
the person
who
is.
It is. Yeah.
So I won't give it away, but I will say this. It's a scripted television show with fake people in it. How does this sort of thing affect stock prices? Is it because the general public is so stupid that Peloton as a company, shareholders in Peloton have to go, well, the American people are so dumb, they're going to see this as a negative, and the negativity is going to affect the stock poorly, therefore the stock goes down. That sucks. Yeah. If that's true, and I'm sure that's how it works, we are effed. What is wrong with us?
Yeah.
That a fake thing like that can affect actual stock.
Like, oh no, somebody can die with us? I'm pulling my stocks.
That's so stupid.
I'm going to go put it in Nordic Track.
I mean, that's basically it, right? Because we're all so freaking dumb.
That's right. Don't worry, we're not going to say who the character is.
We're not going to say it. We're not going to get into that. No.
Yeah. It would be a big mistake to do that, because I'm sure some people.
Yeah, not especially right here during Christmas right, time. Yeah. You know, we don't want to. We're not going to do it. All right, moving on.
And just like that.
I like that.
I'd be curious about what our overlap, what the Venn diagram of TMS. listeners and Sex and the City fans, how tiny or how big is that overlap?
I love
it. And really anybody who's that big a fan has watched it because it's been out.
Oh yeah, you'd be super all ahead of this anyway. Yeah.
If there was somebody who really was a genuine fan of comic books, they'd be seeing Spider-Man this week because, whatever, nothing would get in their way. They're a comic book fan. They would be seeing Spider-Man this week.
Yeah, exactly. And if not, then you're either just an average person who doesn't deserve the spoiler protection. But, be Mr. Big about this issue and... All right.
It's really the only, I couldn't even, you can't even, work any other things about this person or character in there because it's, I don't know anything else.
That's too good. Yeah. Also, in case anyone is actually, legitimately upset about these hints, Brian was the first one to do it, so just go ahead and, let him know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because usually it's me. I just want to clear the air. It's not me this time.
That's right. Fine. Nope. By the way, it was Charlotte. Let's move on to the next story.
All right, it was Charlotte. Yeah. I don't even know who that is. Which one is that? Is that one of the ladies?
Charlotte's the brunette that was on Melrose Place, that actress.
Oh, I like her, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
I also like the other one.
The redhead?
Yeah.
Miranda?
Miranda. I think she's interesting in other things. And what's her name's fine.
In politics.
Yeah, in politics. Oh, chat. Well, yeah, but chat spoiled it, but we got a whole podcast here, Tom. There's 99% of you haven't heard us spoil it yet, so Brian's all I'm saying.
Oh, Brian. There you go. Oh, cool. Yeah, there we go. AV Tech John's put up a poll, so go vote in there. Do you watch Sex and the City? His poll just says Sex in the Frog Pants City.
Yeah, which there you go.
Sounds like he's propositioning us all.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd be curious about the results.
I think I've maybe seen a episode, and then that's it. I don't know anything else. And I know who's in it, but that's it.
Yeah, Tina and I used to watch the original show. I never saw any of the movies or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine for people who love that. Great, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got stuff I watched over and over that nobody else cares about, but I get it. Anyway, so their stock is down, and that's real dumb. Super dumb.
Kim Cattrall used to get all kinds of naked on that show.
Yeah, she did. Now she's and she's the only one that's won, or maybe did multiple actors on that show won Emmys, but I know she won two or something. So she was well thought of on there. I don't know.
Well appreciated by critics, maybe not well loved by the rest of the cast.
Yeah. She made that book with her husband called How to.
It was a sex book, right?
Yeah, Lady Orgasm and How to Find It or something like that.
Yeah. Let's see, 54 nominations, 7 Emmys, Sarah Jessica Parker won for lead actress. Kim Cattrall, supporting actress nomination, but not a win. Kristen Davis, that's Charlotte. Another outstanding supporting actress. Let's see. Oh, so Cynthia Nixon won supporting actress the same year that all four of them were nominated.
Oh.
And Sarah Jessica Parker won lead, and Cynthia Nixon won supporting.
Okay.
And that's just in 2004, so I mean, geez.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well, I don't even want to go through this whole list. But.
Well, she's also, Kim Cattrall's the only Star Trek connection, right? She was on Star Trek 4, 5, 6?
Yes, as the new Klingon, right? Or not Klingon, Vulcan.
Vulcan, yeah. She kind of was like a replacement.
Was,
oh, was she was evil. She turned out to be evil in that.
Motion picture? Or, no, no, motion picture.
6, Undiscovered Country.
Kirstie Alley. Undiscovered Country, that's right. Kirstie Alley was in one of those early ones.
Yeah, she was in 2.
2, right.
And she was the Kobayashi Maru test. She was part of that.
Oh, that's right.
Kirstie
yeah.
Alley was, right. yeah. Mm-hmm. But then the Vulcan, yeah, the Vulcan thing at the end of 6, she was like part of the conspiracy and she got in trouble. Kim Cattrall then.
Mm-hmm.
But then
and just
would,
like that.
Yeah, her best work was over. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our good pal, Mr. Steven Schleicher, will be here to join us to talk, to hang out, and discuss things, all things major spoilers. But we won't really spoil anything, everybody. You'll be fine. It's a big weekend. So we got Spider-Man coming up. What does Steven think? What's our predictions? Everyone's going but me? Well, we'll find out in a minute. But first, Brian, got to play this song.
Not everyone's going but
oh,
you.
All right. You're not going. I thought you had a
I'm tickets. Going, but Steven isn't going. You're not going.
Oh, Steven's not. Right. Yeah,
there's a lot of people who aren't ready for theaters yet, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, totally fine. All right, well, tell me a totally fine song. Give me a good one.
Yeah, let's give you a good indie metal song here. These guys, who was I thinking of? A little bit of The Church, 80s band The Church, echoing the Bunny Men a little bit. This is a band called The Cribs. Gary Jarman and his brother Ryan Jarman on bass and bass guitar, regular guitar and vocals, and then Ross Jarman on drums. It's they should have called them the Jarmans, but it's three brothers. This is the fourth installment of their Sonic Blue Singles Club titled "Things Could Be Better." Their 8th album was released last year, and they keep giving us great singles as part of their Sonic as part of this Singles Club thing. This is awesome. You're going to love this, especially if you like that kind of 80s vibe like I mentioned. Here is Things Could Be Better by The Cribs.
Perfume of trash just on the low. Our subject for today is personality. Specifically, your personality, and even more specifically, your sales personality.
I haven't voted yet.
Mere Gerd. This is the Morning Stream.
So would that make them, if they ever had a video on MTV, they'd be the MTV Cribs, and they'd have to...
They would. They'd be the MTV Cribs.
Oh, yes, that's rough.
They would. Well, man. Done.
Tell me that song one more time, will you?
Yeah, that is Things Could Be Better by the Cribs.
Nice. I have to say, lately, I go back and, you know, make sure I hear the music.
Yeah.
You've had killer stuff lately. Really good.
You're gonna like this one. You're gonna like the one for tomorrow, the Rum Jacks. Some great stuff coming up this week on for music.
Yeah.
I'm just bummed that the three people in our chat room can't hear them. Just they can't hear the songs. So.
Yeah, it's a bummer, right? Well, you three get out there and make some noise. All right, let's get Steven in it.
Yeah.
Because when he's in it, well, we all win it. So here's this.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher from Hayes, Kansas, and the home of Majorspoilers.com, one of my favorite pop culture websites in the world. Hello, Steven. Welcome back.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to have you here. Hope you're well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you doing good? You're hanging in there, Christmas and all that stuff?
It's finals week, so yeah, I've got a lot of grading to do. A lot of hearts to break.
Yeah.
A lot of realities to shatter.
The red pen is in full force right now.
How many? Yeah. Are you worried? Yeah. What's your percentage of like...
Am I worried about finals week? No. I'm not worried at all. Okay. The students.
That's right. Yeah.
But like, do you ever feel like, man, if I fail 13% of these guys, the administration's going to think it's me. You ever worry about that? You know what I mean?
No, because I grade fairly.
Oh.
And so I don't give the grades. The students earn the grades. So if the students, there's a whole discussion to be had on participation and paying attention and dedication to your coursework, which directly impacts your grade.
Yeah.
As opposed to just showing up to class means I get an A. Mm. And so that's, you know.
Do they call you Mr. S? Or the full Schleicher?
No.
Mr. S.
Hey,
Mr. S.
I got a question. All right. Well, these are good things that we've never asked you before, and I'm glad we did.
For sure.
Yeah. No. Students totally earn their own grades. So.
Oh, good. Is that how that works? Okay. It's not, do you grade on a curve? How's that go?
No, I actually don't grade on a curve. I'm somebody that really does not believe in grade inflation, which is something that starts at the grade school level and has continued all the way up to the university level. Yeah. And so I hate people that are just like, well, everybody got a B, so I'll just go ahead and give everyone an A. Or they were 3 points away from getting an A, so I'll just give them an A. No, you got a B.
I agree with this. I'm going to put my foot down with you. I think grade inflation / grading on a curve is effed. It's effed.
And honestly, a C is not a failing grade. So many students, when they get a C on a project, are like, oh, I failed. It's like, no, if you got a U or an F, then you would have failed. A C is an average grade.
Whoa,
so.
What is a U? What's a U?
Unacceptable.
Oh, unacceptable. Holy shit. I don't think I ever got a U on anything. I don't think.
Boy, it's really bad when you get an F U.
No, those are the grades that I get from the students.
I like that it stands. That would also stand for failed unacceptably. Is what that would be. That's unbelievable. All right. Well, it's good to have you here. We're going to chat about a couple of things here. For example, a lot of people were real excited about this in the lead up, and then it happened, and then I heard nothing but meh, I'm off, whatever, don't care. Mm-hmm. Cowboy Bebop live action canceled. Done.
I actually enjoyed it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take it by itself, it isn't outstanding. It isn't fantastic. But I think there were a lot of people, a lot of viewers who were hard on it because it wasn't a direct adaptation of the anime series.
Mm.
And that's the part I don't understand, because why would you want to see a direct adaptation of something else in another form? That just seems like redundant and a waste of money.
Yeah,
it's like remakes, like West Side Story.
It's like
a West Side Story remake. People are like, oh, it's only going to make $10 million. Well, duh, the original is probably so much better than this one.
Yeah.
Or a cover even. Like, you know, if you're going to sound just like the original, why bother doing it?
I heard pretty good things about that new deal.
Cowboy Bebop?
No, the West Side Story. I heard it was good.
Oh, the West Side Story, yeah.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it here. Can't find it.
Yeah, so
that's going to be on HBO Max. It's day and date, right?
Oh, West Side Story is?
I believe it is.
I thought that was already in theaters.
Or is it already out in theaters? Okay, so it's not one of the Universal deals.
It's 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 95% on... I mean, that thing's probably Oscar bait from here to heaven and high and back. But I agree with you. But if you're going... I think we have the added wrinkle of, okay, our source material is animated. It's beloved.
Right.
And what are you going to do with it? Well, personally, I would like to see something slightly new because, again, what's the point of just a retread? It already exists in whatever form it exists, so do something a little bit new and different. But it is risky because the fan base, they think they want adherence to the original material until they get it, and then they're mad because it's too much like the original, and I'll just go watch the original. Like, there's no winning in this, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, in this case, I don't think that there's any winning. Just like with the upcoming, well, we saw it already with the last Avatar movie, but I think the next one, that is it Netflix that's doing the TV series, people are going to be just putting too much pressure on that live action adaptation, and it's just never going to meet up. Never going to meet the expectations of the audience. And so here's the thing. Anytime you're a fan of something and you hear that there's a new something coming out, go in with zero expectations, because if you're like, eh, this is probably going to be okay, then if it's better than that low bar you've set, hey, it's great. And if it doesn't, then you're like, well, I thought so. And no one's going to hold that against you. But
sure.
I don't know. I think there was maybe too much harsh criticism given on the show, mainly because of the anime background and the connection that people have of it. And hey, I'm a big Cowboy Bebop anime fan.
Me too.
I found the original DVDs probably the month that they came out and burned through all of them back in the day and love it. I've got original cells from the TV series here in my office, and it's good stuff. And I thought that the live action series was fine. It was good. Yep. It ended in a way that, had they not put on the little stinger with Ed at the end, it was a standalone, done in one series to begin with.
Mm-hmm. But now they got some expectations, and so someone's going to be sad that got canceled. Like you kind of wanted to see a follow up, right? I mean, you like.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen how they would have gotten the crew back together and the part that Ed would have played in the series, but you know. I'll be honest, I haven't watched the second season of Lock and Key, and I love Lock and Key, the comic book.
Yeah.
But the second season of Lock and Key, I watched one episode. I was like, nah, I'm out.
Really?
Wow. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah, you know, if you fall off something, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, I couldn't even start Loki, and I'm still gonna, but I couldn't do it. I don't know why. I just couldn't do it. My brain was just like, nah, you don't want to do that right now. Do something else. That's what I would always do when Loki would come up.
Well, so on my calendar, I have open right here. It says January 22nd, 2022. I'm supposed to ask the question, did Scott watch Loki yet?
Well, I still got time.
Why that date? Why that date?
Well, I don't know. It was the last time we brought this up, and I was like, I'm going to mark in the calendar whether Scott has watched this. And one of you two said, I will have watched it by January 22nd, 2022.
I'm sure it was me.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm going to mark it on my calendar.
It definitely wasn't me. I was watching day and date.
Yeah.
I'm curious if Scott's all caught up on Hawkeye.
I am, except for Wednesdays. Kim and I are watching that tonight. We just
That's a very good episode.
I heard
it is, and Scott's going to like it even more.
Yeah.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, am I? Let me see, infer what that might mean.
I'm not going to tell you whether you're right or wrong, so guess all you want.
Okay, old man Steve Rogers shows up with a shield.
Damn it.
Damn it. I knew it.
It's the return of Crossbones.
Speaking of comics and sad news, George Perez suffering with some stage four. Stage three pancreatic cancer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and
awful.
He's not been... Yeah, it is really awful. Cancer sucks. We should be, you know, doing everything we can as a, wealthy society to do everything we can to pour it into cancer research and other research for illnesses that take people too early. But we don't. George Perez went to his Facebook page last week or week and a half ago and said that he has received the news that he has stage three pancreatic cancer. It is inoperable, and they expect that within the next 6 months to a year that he will pass away.
No. He'll go down as one of the most important artists in the history of comics, period.
Like, sure. Yeah.
He's one of those
his
guys.
His run on the new Teen Titans is my favorite of his works. So good.
So good.
And then, of course, he did all the stuff with... Crisis on Infinite Earths and all right. of that. So.
Yeah, and that big poster, combined poster thing mm-hmm. with all those characters going head-to-head, it basically yeah. inspired a new way to draw comics for... I mean, now you see ripoffs of that idea constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's yep. all because of George Perez. That dude is amazing. And also, I hear he was nothing but amazing at cons, like one of the nicest, most fan-friendly, stoked mm-hmm. about what you were stoked about kind of guys. That just freaking sucks.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't just a few years ago he had said that he had gone blind in one eye, or he had lost the use of one of his eyes. So he knew that he wasn't in the greatest of shape. So, yeah, this is sad news, I think, for all comic book fans. But, you know, one of the nice things is, you know, there are so many things that you can do. You can go and contribute some money to cancer research, pancreatic cancer research, if you like.
Yeah.
You can go out and let him know how much you appreciate how much he's done to the industry over these last, you know, 75 years. Mm-hmm. You can do so much now while he's still alive, as opposed to treating him like he's already dead,
yeah,
which is what I see
idea.
A lot of people kind of already doing. Oh, George Perez was the greatest. Well, he's still the greatest.
Yeah, he's still there. He's still with us, guys. All right. Well, on to brighter news, I suppose. Hopefully this means it's going to be good. But Spider-Man this weekend, Brian's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good for you.
I keep hearing spoilers, though. I hear Doc Ock dies in a Bowflex.
oh, no, Bowflex stock just went down because of you saying
just
that.
I just brought down Bowflex stock. No, you know what? Actually, the current rumor is, I think there's 5% chance of this happening, is the Charlie Cox making an appearance as Daredevil.
Yeah, I had heard that rumor too. That you know, for all of the lawyering that Peter Parker needs, he's going to turn to that.
Yes,
I would be all right with that, though.
I'd be totally fine. I mean, I feel like the Netflix stuff could integrate so well into where the MCU is now post Endgame. Mm-hmm. Hey, any chance to see Kristen Ritter again? To see John Barenthal? To see Charlie Cox? Even the guy who played Iron Fist, any of that stuff, I think would be
I agree, bring that stuff back.
Iron Fist and Shang-Chi team up, right? Or
you know, that'd be cool, a great little buddy cop movie. Get Awkwafina tell Awkwafina to go do something else, and you get those two together. That's a great idea. All right, here's
Kevin Feige has said that if there's ever the Daredevil is to ever appear in the MCU, it will be Charlie Cox. So
okay, good, because he deserves it. He's great.
Yeah,
I will. Okay, I got a question here. Okay. What was it going to be? It was I heard an interview, or I saw an interview, read an interview, I should say, with John Barenthal and his two earlobes. They were both there as well. Uh-huh. You don't always see them in the same place, but they were that happened to be there that day.
You have to have a wide angle lens.
Yeah, it was hard. They had to last minute set up new cameras. It was a pain. Anyway, so they had this interview, and he was saying he didn't feel like he really wants to return to that role. He loved that take on Punisher. He's a big fan of the source. He wants to do it again. But he says, and maybe this helps indicate whether he's ever going to be used again because there's no current deal going. But he said, I'm not sure that Punisher fits in the MCU because the MCU is a little jokey, a little self-referential, a little having a little too much fun. And he doesn't think that kind of snark works with his Punisher. I thought that was interesting, right? Because it's a pretty dark take, right? Like his Punisher is not a quippy, jokey guy.
So maybe you don't see him in the next, you know, Doctor Strange, but what about the next Deadpool film? You know, Deadpool and Punisher instead of Cable.
I think always one of the best combos of pure superhero and anti-hero. Unfortunately, we don't have Steve Rogers, Captain America, but in the comics, I really think that the belief that Captain America has compared with what the Punisher has are they're kind of fighting for the same thing, but Captain America doesn't like the method in which the Punisher goes through it. And I think that headbutting is fascinating in a tale. I don't know whether it would make a movie or whether it'd make an episode in Captain America and the Winter Soldier or not, but I think, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I think that would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be good. I'm a little bummed. I'm looking at the full cast and crew of the Spider-Man movie, and I don't see.
Oh, are you seeing the full cast and crew of the Spider-Man movie?
Well, no. See, that's the thing. Probably not, right? There's all sorts of hidden stuff. but I don't see Benedict Wong in here. Where the frick is Benedict Wong, the greatest character in the MCU, my favorite dude?
He's hanging out with Shang-Chi or Shang-Chi.
I guess he is. He's helping train him, get him going.
Yeah. He's training Awkwafina right now.
He did an amazing, speaking of another movie he's in with Awkwafina, he did amazing voice work in that Disney's Aura and the weird dragon thing, or the, what the hell is that called? Aria
and the Weird Dragon.
Whatever
coming
it
to
was.
Theaters from Disney.
He was great in that. He played the big dude from the frozen part of the world, and he was awesome in that. Yeah. Raya. All right. Well, anyway, do you have any final predictions, Stephen? Like, Andrew Garfield.
I will say this. You know why there's names missing in that IMDb listing? Hmm. It's because if they told you, you wouldn't want to go see the movie.
Mm. Yeah.
But if there's a chance that you're going to see Daredevil or Spider-Man or the other Spider-Man.
Paul Giamatti is the Rhino.
In this movie, then that's the other incentive to get you to go and see it.
Right. Yes. I would be down for that, by the way, Brian. I won't.
Because I guarantee you Monday morning or even 5 minutes after the midnight showing on Thursday of this, everyone's going to know what's going on in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you won't hear about it from me. I'm going to be spoiler free.
Yeah. I'm okay with spoilers. I've always said that spoilers really don't bother my enjoyment of something.
Yeah.
But I am sad that I'm not going to go and see it in the theater, just because the theater going experience is just the worst.
I'm
disappointed in Disney for not realizing that they can capitalize on, 60% of the population that's not going to go to the theaters.
They should. By the way, I guess Eternals scheduled for the first week of January on Plus.
Yeah, and I saw that the Encanto or whatever that new Disney movie, it drops on December 24th on Disney Plus.
Oh,
perfect.
Oh, I'm Christmas glad I waited night. Then, because I do want to see that. I like those.
Latin American superheroes in Kanto.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Encanto. Yeah.
Superhero family.
Ask your doctor if Encanto is right for you. So, okay, I got a question.
It's not Latin American. Latin. Latina.
What was my... Oh, I had a question, and now it's not going to happen because I forgot what it was. It was good, and I don't remember. Okay.
Is it related to comic books?
No. Oh, I know what it is. My prediction.
Oh, okay.
When Spider-Man drops, it will become the biggest money-making movie in the country and the world, and it'll be a huge hit, all right? Even in post-COVID times, it will be, they'll make their money. And it will then start up a fresh round of conversations from old seasoned directors who are going to get into this conversation about how the MCU and things like it have ruined movies, that things like West Side Story and that Ridley Scott movie 2 weeks ago, whatever it was called.
The one that everybody remembers.
No one can remember the name of. Like, these serious cinema efforts are getting ignored. And
wait a minute. It sounds like you're taking the Martin Scorsese approach to the MCU.
That's
you're
going to
get so many people in trouble.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Just going to grab the headline and not read the actual statement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's going to happen, and there's going to be all kinds of new conversation about it. And, there's going to be, and it's going to annoy everybody, including me. It's going to annoy me how much everybody wants to talk about this. And they're going to ignore the one big elephant in the room. And that elephant in the room is not COVID, not any of that. The elephant in the room is people's tastes and where they get their content is shifting. This is I don't go to the record store anymore moment in movies. I really do think that. Like, you're never going to get rid of that stuff completely, but going to a theater on a Friday night, spending the money and having all the people around you, I think is going to become more and more of an antiquated idea, whether people like it or not. We've been talking about this for years, but I actually think we're on the road to this now. And the shift toward consuming it in other ways, streaming services being dominant in that format, that's the future, man. And so these guys like Spielberg and all these old guys who, he's not complaining, so I'm not trying to set him up for, criticism.
Spielberg, he's complaining.
Is he? Okay, so let's, all of them.
His thing is that he and George Lucas both made this statement like 6 or 7 years ago, saying that the movie theater is going to be a place very much like going to see a Broadway play or musical. It's going to be a fancy event. It's going to be very expensive. The good movies will run for 6 months at a time in the theater, and it will be a to-do, and it won't be throwaway media.
Well, here's what's happening instead. I think they're right to a point, but here's where they were wrong. Content like the stuff they want to put out, and I don't mean Lucas because he isn't really making anything new, but But like Spielberg, Scorsese, Ridley Scott, all these guys with their high art, that shit's going to go straight to home and it's going to be appreciated and people are going to be willing to pay even premiums for it. But I don't think those are blockbusters anymore. We're done with that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have West Side Story sweep the nation and everybody go see it. I just don't think that happens. 10 years ago, maybe. Now, I don't know, man. I just don't think it happens. But when you do things like the new Spider-Man, well, of course, it's a giant feel-good for everybody. And so everybody goes. And that's the future, whether you like it or not.
Does Broadway follow suit then? Like, do people stop going to Broadway shows and they have live streaming events like the kind of similar to
what... I mean, what's NBC doing? What's NBC doing right now?
That's true, but... It isn't Broadway. I mean,
Broadway's not Cats level entertainment.
But Broadway, Broadway's already they're already the little boutique business, because they used to be all you could do hundreds of years ago. That's all there was you and an audience and things happening on stage. And
that's
then,
why I think there's always going to be movie theaters, because I think that there's it's not quite as dramatic as the shift from CDs and records and cassette tapes to digital. I think that's a big one. I don't think movie theaters completely go away, but I do think you do just get the boutique situations like the Alamo Draft Houses, maybe the Regals and the AMCs, but on a far less, not in every mall, not in every city.
Exactly. Kind of I would actually use the comparison of like bookstores. Bookstores have their place. They're awesome. I love a good bookstore. I love the smell of a bookstore, especially like an old used bookstore. I love it.
Right.
But you know what?
Comic stores. We don't want to see mom and pop comic stores go away. We don't want to see record stores go away because they're swallowed up by
we don't want to see it, but it's going to happen and is happening, right? Like, it already has happened in books. So many chains are gone.
I don't like seeing that happen.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, but there'll always be these little places for it. I think movies are heading in the same place. As much as nobody wants to say it, giant megaplexes probably aren't going to make it through this. Probably not. But your cool little Alamo Draft House probably will, because it's event. It's an event. It's like a concert. It's like anything else. So
go look up the current financial situation of Alamo Draft House.
No, I don't want to know. It'll depress me.
Yeah, we had one close out here. We had three. We had one for the longest time. Then they said, oh, let's put up two more. And then COVID came 6 months later, and now it's like, oh, man, we might be going back down to one.
Yeah, I haven't followed up in a long time, but back in March, Alamo had filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
You ever
and really, bankruptcy is really more just trying to deal with current creditors, not
that's just a restructure
bad
thing.
Business model.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're leaving necessarily, but you guys ever want to irritate your family, here's what you do. You go into a bookstore, like a Barnes & Noble today. That's like the only one left.
Oh.
You walk. That's annoying. That's a good one. That's good. But you walk into the thing, you pull out your phone, and you do this every time you go in there. That's how it's annoying. One time, it's fine. It's almost a nice little anecdote. The 20th time, my wife's ready to kill me. But I walk into a movie, or walk into a Barnes & Noble, great big Barnes & Noble. I pull out my phone and go, did you know that everything in this entire 2-acre building fits 8 times over on my phone? Everything in here, every piece of content, 8 times this place. So 8
Even
of these stores
that,
fit on my phone.
Half the number of times in real life that you talk about on this show, that would still be too
many. I know.
Many.
It's annoying. I know. I know, but I can't get over it. Like, I'm saying we're having seismic changes that are going to affect people for good or for ill. Like, you know, whatever. People were afraid that Lotus 1-2-3 would destroy the accounting world, and it didn't. In fact, it made it bigger. So, you know, it's not saying it's bad. I'm just saying we're heading there. Sam Jane says I'm getting old person syndrome. No, this is new. This is me saying no. Quit being old. We got to be on the cutting edge.
Old person syndrome is we got to do something to save the coal industry. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I'm more on the old, no, movie theaters aren't going away because we still want that communal experience of seeing something on the big screen.
Right. Which I think has value. I really do. I just hope.
Yeah.
I hope there's a place in the end of all of it. There's a place for, because whatever, we just get, this is life. We change. Everything changes. We keep changing. It's okay. Change is right. We know the song. We're good. All right, Stephen. Finally, that's all.
That's it.
Are you reading any cool comics at the moment, or what?
There are two ones that I would recommend, and you caught me by surprise here, but it's called Crap. It just came out last week. I think I mentioned it on the show. It's from DC Comics, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like DOA the movie meets superheroes. Mm. It's a really, really great – let me see if I can find it really quick by publishers. It's really great. It is by Tom –
Tom Taylor?
I believe it's Tom Taylor.
Ooh.
Gosh dang it. And
he's my favorite
I mentioned
writer.
It just a few weeks ago.
He's my favorite writer, you know. I'll read anything he
I know. Makes. I know. That's why I said you should really, really check it out. God dang it. Now I don't see it. I'll send it to you. But it's really, really good. The second issue just came out last week, 2 weeks ago. It's a fantastic series somebody is found out that he's been poisoned, and he has to find out who poisoned him, and it just might be a superhero who did it. So that's what he's doing across this 12-issue maxi series, and it's so good, Scott. I think you'd really, really dig it. The art style is great. It has this kind of late 50s, early 60s kind of styling to it that you see in all the ads from that time period. Yeah. The colors are great. It's really a good series.
That reminds me of Frontiers. Every time you mention it, that style, that kind of like art.
Yes. Unfortunately, speaking of someone who died way too soon. Oh,
too many amazing comic people die early. What's going on with that? They're sitting at their desk too long or something.
Get up and stretch.
Yeah,
drink
be like
water,
Greg Capullo, man. Hydrated. That guy benches like 300 pounds. He's 60 years old or 61 or something.
Oh, yeah. And if Michael Avon Oeming, who did a lot of the power stuff and does stuff for DC, or I'm sorry, Marvel, he goes out and he does martial arts and stuff. He's
ripped.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And finally, any thoughts on that Wonder Woman video game got announced at the Game Awards? I don't know if you saw that little trailer.
No, I didn't see that.
It looks cool. It looks like a cool take on Wonder Woman. They didn't show much, but... you know, it's all the rage now to make a good comic book based video game, and I'd take one from.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, they showed. They also showed a ton more of the upcoming Suicide Squad game that's from Rocksteady, who made all of the Arkham Asylum and Arkham City and all those games. That looks like it's really coming together. That looks awesome.
Cool.
And then there's the other one, Arkham Knights, which is, I guess, all Robin's doing shit because Batman dies or something. Anyway,
We don't know where Batman's at.
We don't know.
Oh, here's the title of the book. The Human Target.
Is
the first book. All and again, Scott, this is something that you definitely want to get. And the other one that people want to check out, it's kind of got a little bit of historical accuracy to it, is The Good Asian from Image Comics. Mm-hmm. It is about a... Asian detective from Hawaii who has to come to California to solve a crime. And of course, it's at a time period when the Asian community is totally frowned upon, and there were no Asian members of the police force in San Francisco. So that one's also a really great series.
Very cool. All right. I'm marking this now to read later. Human Target. All right, Stephen, it's been a pleasure. Is there any, I don't know, we learned earlier on the show that you can only go about a week before you die without water. So what would you suggest?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I definitely tell people to stay hydrated.
Oh, that's a great idea. Stephen Schleicher, everybody, majorspoilers.com. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Bye now. All right. Hey, Brian, what if I told you that we had a mashup that is our Christmas special, and I was going to play it now? What would you say?
Our Christmas special mashup. Oh my God, this is great.
Seems early, but that's okay.
It does seem early. We have 2 weeks until Christmas.
We do, but I think his thinking is we're going to have so much of the end of year stuff that we may as well get this one out of the way, you know?
He's probably expecting that we're going to have like a bunch of missed days between now.
He probably is, and he might be right for that week. I don't know. But
who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? But here it is. This is our Christmas special. Jamie, aka TMS Mashups, made this. Everyone enjoy.
Ho, ho, ho. Nobody freak out.
Put your hands up.
Ho, 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 ho. Keep your hands where I can see them. Ho, 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 ho.
Twas the day before Christmas and all through the house. Not a monkey was stirring. I couldn't find me blouse.
Brian, I know you didn't want to watch Maid because it was super girly, but I think you'd really like it.
Oh my God, my mom is here.
Is she really there?
She is really here.
Isn't it funny that the person's vagina that you exited is now at the front door laughing?
Yes.
I know she's got another carload of homeless bags, so she's doing...
Oh, she puts homeless people in bags? Yeah. What?
Well, she calls homeless people bags. That's what she calls them. I'm not saying I'm going to f*** this lady. I'm not going to probably ever do anything with her again.
I say, do you have the time? Hold on. Let me squirt some milk from my anus.
Okay, now.
We were raised right.
Anal fissure.
Anal fissure.
Anal fissure. Anal fissure.
Tell me where it hurts. I'll need to touch your breasts now. Don't worry. That's normal.
Brian, I have all this leftover stuff.
I don't think I'm going to do any more stained glass this year, so can we put that stuff in a cabinet?
Watching the two of you lick the head. It's just, wow.
He said he was...
Oh, those look like they've been augmented. Are those real?
Oh, no. These are not my
real
boobs.
Are those real and they're spectacular?
These are my fake boobs.
I did shave my... because it was getting shaggy and unruly, and I kind of overdid the shave.
Oh, yeah, I got one. I got a vibrator, I says.
Totally okay to have a doctor jam a camera up your saddle smasher and make sure there's no beans in there where they ought not to be.
I'm here for the foreskins.
Oh, Tina, I need to go get all the foreskins, get my bag. I got there are many reports of people with
psychopathy.
Psychopathy? Can't get it out of my ass or my mouth. Ugh, that's the problem. It's not in my ass. It's in my mouth. Anyway, they didn't hold any boners back.
No, there were no boners left on the table.
Mm-mm. Packed them up, put them in, all the boners. That's what I want to do is throw
That's
up many
from that
times.
Documentary where Arnold told us that he gets an erection whenever he works out.
Oh, wait. I don't remember it being specifically he gets a boner during the workout.
No, but it's...
The
feeling of working out is like coming, and so I'm coming at the gym, and I'm coming at home. I'm coming all the time. Ah!
That was gnarly. That was a gnarly one. I enjoyed it, though. Well
went
done,
went places
Jamie.
At the end there.
Yep. Never came back. Went places and did not return.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's a Christmas miracle. I want to thank a bunch of people who support us on our Patreon because they're awesome and we love them. Aaron Wace, for example. He's a grade A-plus member. I love that level. Man, that's the one I'd get if I were you. Gino Parma. Also at the Deal Me In level and Ciphers at the Grade A Plus level. Thank you all for being patrons. Yeah, we love you guys. Patreon.com/TMS. You guys are getting bonus content every morning. You're getting TMS PMs every week. You're getting all kinds of stuff in the mail. You guys are the true friends of the show. So thank you. If you want to sign up, it's easy. Patreon.com/TMS. Everything else
One
is over.
One of those three people upped their stock. In Peloton this week. So good for them.
All right. Well done. That's the time to buy. Buy now. Buy low, sell
buy
high.
Buy now. Yeah. That's right.
Somebody will, you know what they need to do? Just make some fake show where they put a dead corpse on a Peloton and at the end it's alive again and now all the stock will go up. Because that's just how dumb everyone is.
I feel great.
Yeah, I feel much better now.
This season on The Walking Dead, they figure out how to solve the zombie problem.
Yeah. That's how you get Glenn back. Just put them on. Put them on an old Peloton.
Oh, spoiler!
I know it's a little spoilery. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. Anyway, hey, that's it. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Send us your emails and feedback at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian, why don't we song the bottom of the show?
Okay. All right.
Didn't make any sense.
No, not at all. Hey, Scooter Shopping Steve wrote in, said, Dear Brian and Scott, I foresee a mobility scooter in my future. How do I know this? My local classic rock station played Chop Suey by System of a Down. Please play a cover of the song on any date. At least this time, it will be a pleasant surprise. Okay, and I was thinking about playing like a lounge, slow version of the song, but this is a great version I've never played on the show before. This is by Halocene. Who we've played on the show before. A nice female-led metal group. Also features Lauren Babick and Violet Orlandi on vocals. Here is their 2020 single covering Chop Suey.
All right. Thank you guys for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
He is filming turds.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.